So I wasn't sure. Usually I do a theme, you know, on these, like overcome or peace or self-control or something like that. But I really couldn't come up with a theme that I really wanted to do. So I was just like, hey, you know, YouVersion has those verse of the days. I'm just going to take the last five verse of the days. So here we go. That's the theme is this is just full-fledged shotgun. All right. So, Mr. Dobson, we'll start with you. Come on up. You guys know the... know the deal, right? 5 minutes apiece, and...
Good evening. Another beautiful day in the Lord today, huh? Hey, okay, so, Psalms 119, verse 114 is my verse this evening. I know that all of you that live out on the West End, you have been hit with some severe storms in the past. Not only on the West End, but all over. It could be anywhere. It could be driving down the highway in the middle of Wyoming. Next thing you know, you're in the middle of a serious storm. What do? Big hail balls falling down. You run for shelter. You find the nearest bridge and get under. Been there, done that. Psalms 119, 114. You are my hiding place and my shield. I wait for your word, or I hope for your word, would be another way. I look at this verse and I hiding place. Well, we certainly don't want to hide from the Lord. That's not what this is talking about. But we do want to flee from evil. If you've got yourself in a situation and it doesn't look good, you run. Run. It's okay. Jesus ran. Jesus said, oh, time to get out of here. And that's what you got to do. And you got to take refuge in the Lord, would be what the Lord tells us to do. In Psalms, you don't have to turn to this one, Psalms 30, what is it, 32:7? You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. That is taking refuge in the Lord, because you've recognized you're in trouble and there's only one. There is only one way to get out of that trouble, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ, who provide us the way out. Proverbs 30, sake of time, I'll just read it real quick. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is tested. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Psalms 121. I usually don't like going backwards, but now I got to go back. 121, verse 7 and 8. Where's 121? Oh, there it is. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. When you're caught, you know, Mr. Ferguson, when I first started studying with him, he said, I was this great big ship, and I'm out in the middle of the ocean, and I'm making a U-turn. Well, it takes a big ship a long time. And in that time, you're getting hit with storms of life, and they're coming on you like there's nothing else in the world except your trouble. And there's only one way to preserve your life, and that's through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 6:18. This is 6:18 is in the middle of a thought here. So that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor to our soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. I can't stress enough, there's only one way out of trouble. And there's only one place to take refuge. You know, I don't know about the man in the room, because I've never experienced it, but I know you wives have. You cuddled up to your husbands, and you got up underneath their arm, and you're just all snuggled up against them in the couch, and you're just like, oh, doesn't that just, you're comfortable, you feel safe, you've taken refuge under your husband's arms, the same way we have to take refuge under our Lord and Savior's arms. He'd be right there for us, and he'd snuggle up to you too.
Hello. Galatians 5:16 reads, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." So to walk by the Spirit is only done if you have the indwelling Holy Spirit, which empowers us to walk in a manner according to our calling, suitable for use. To walk by the Spirit is to walk upright, walk holy and blameless. It is to walk in a manner which glorifies Christ. And the having the indwelling Holy Spirit gives us the ability to do that. And it's a full-time job. It's in everything you do. It's walking past the casino. It's walking to go do something which would glorify Christ. It's walking to get to where you want to be, which is where Christ tells us where we want to be, in a manner which glorifies Him. And when you're doing that, you don't have time for the desires of the flesh. You don't have the desire to carry out the deeds of the flesh, because you have that sense of victory which we can achieve having freedom and forgiveness. And once you're walking in the Spirit, you get a taste for it and you get a rhythm, and you forget how to lose. And so that's why it doesn't say don't carry out the deeds of the flesh, but instead walk by the Spirit. It says walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the deeds of the flesh, because that's how it's done. And I had something else, but I think I covered it. That's not 5 minutes, is it? All right, thanks.
Howdy, folks. Turn to Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, and I'm going to start in verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things, as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, my first thoughts when I read this are, how confident are you going to be approaching someone that you can't relate with? You know, for example, how many of you would be comfortable approaching me about marriage counseling? Right? I mean, like, I've picked up some things over the years just from observing, you know, my parents, but I don't actually have experience doing it. Right? You're not going to be confident approaching me about that. Someone I think of is a good example of a marriage were the Loves, Don and Evie Love. You know, Mrs. Love always tells me that they never fought. Not even once. I find that incredible. But, you know, would you feel confident going to a couple like them for marriage advice? Well, absolutely. Because they have the experience. And not only did they have the experience, but they were actually successful. A lot of people have experience, but, you know, they're not successful. But that's the thing about Jesus, is he was tempted in all things. He has the experience. And he was successful. He knows how to win. The second thing that jumps out at me in this passage is that it's called the throne of grace. You know, he wants to give us his mercy and grace in our time of need. Are you going to be confident approaching someone that, you know, as soon as you tell them something, they're going to judge you, or they're going to be in the box toward you, looking over your shoulder, just waiting for you to mess up, gossiping about you? No, that's not an environment that's going to help anybody, right? That's not how Jesus is. You know, Jesus actually wants to help us. He wants us to actually win and to experience some victory. So here's Jesus reaching out his hand, saying, "Be confident. Let's take this on together, head on. So let's draw near with confidence." Thanks.
Matthew stole my thunder. Howdy. Something about this backdrop over here just makes you feel more Western. My scripture is Matthew 28, 19, 20. It says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always to the end of the age." You know, what an incredible message Jesus left with the disciples. And we know that, I mean, this is right before he was ascended, brings the 11 together and leaves them with an incredible direction that they ought to take. And the thing, what he left with them is to go and make disciples. Now, we know that when it was written, Jesus pulled the 11 aside, but he wasn't just saying, "Hey, 11, you guys are the only ones that are going to be doing this." Okay? You guys, because this is actually a command that Jesus has given to every disciple. Okay? This is for everyone to go and make disciples. It's not exclusive only to those that are in leadership. You know, that's not just the evangelists or those that are getting paid. Other people are getting paid by church. This is a universal command that goes across the board. And what an incredible deal, because God has a plan for each and every one of us to grow closer to Him, but He has a plan to actually evangelize the whole generation. And if it was just left to one or these 11 people to do that, do you think the world would get evangelized? Kind of be hard to do that because the 11 are no longer here. So this universal command goes to everyone. And, you know, sometimes people will look at this passage and they have a hard time because they consider themselves disciples. But yet they don't even ever get immersed. And I'm sorry, I said baptized. I meant to say immersed. But they don't get immersed. And so they consider themselves to be disciples. It's very clear in this passage, just to clear things up, is that only disciples can be immersed. Okay, so you have to know what you're getting immersed for. And so, you know, again, what a great plan. So I've got this sheet here. I want to put it on the board here so you can actually see how this works. It's kind of a pyramid plan, and a lot of people have actually used it. But we're going to say that this the year. I'm just going to put preacher there, and then I'm going to put disciple over here. Okay? Because this is for everyone here. 2, 3. Okay? So let's say that in 1 year, and I'm going to use Luke because Luke studies the Bible with a lot of people. If this was just left to one person to go out and study the Bible and bring people into the kingdom, and Luke was just cranking it out, man. He was studying the Bible every single day. He was staying up all night. The family didn't get to see him because he was just out all night. And he baptized one person every single day. In 1 year, he would baptize 365 people. Okay? But if you make one disciple, and this is the plan that God has. If you just make one disciple, and now it's in 1 year, one disciple makes one disciple, you have two people. Okay? Doesn't it seem like a lot when you got 365? And Luke is still going at it. He's taking his vitamins and he's going all out. Year two, he's got 730. These two disciples, they each make one. There's four disciples. Okay? 3 years, 1,095. And in 3 years, 8. I mean, it looks like Luke is really gaining ground. He's distancing himself from disciple. Okay? But here's where it starts coming to play. After 13 years, Luke hitting it hard, 4,745. And this one disciple who made one disciple, one committed disciple, is now at 8,192. So you kind of see the plan that God had. It wasn't just designed for just a few people to just do all of the work. This plan that God has to go and make disciples is for everyone to do this. In 32 years, 11,680 people. And that's pretty incredible to think about it. Anybody who would even reach this in their lifetime to help that many people become a Christian, just you alone, that's pretty impressive. But to hit this right here, I mean, that's really going all out. If that one disciple, if he were to just make one committed disciple, and not just somebody coming to church, but one committed disciple, it grows so much that it would be over 5 billion people in these 32 years. And it's amazing to think about that, because I think a lot of times we don't think that our lives really matter in what's going on. But God has a plan, and it is a plan to involve every single person to be in there and study the Bible with people and help them become Christians. And if we do that, if one person is committed to do this and to be able to study the Bible with somebody, I mean, we could do some incredible things. We can evangelize a world. Amen?
So, think more appropriately, howdy, partners. in Christ. Yeah. I don't know if you can all see it, but I think the bank's been robbed, and the robbers left their booty right here by the door. And I think the horses were a witness to it. where's my shotgun? Right. I'm in 1 John 2, 1 and 2. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. So the author here, which most likely probably is John, but doesn't say in this book, starts out like, to me, it's like God addressing us as his family, as his children. My little children, that's us. And the author is writing, he says, so that you may not sin. So he's asking us not to sin, really, what he's saying. Then he says, if anyone does sin, that we have an advocate with the Father, and that's Jesus Christ, the righteous. Jesus Christ, the righteous, who was sinless himself, is the most incredible example for us to follow in that regard. He was here in the flesh, and he suffered, and he was tempted in all things as we are, yet he was sinless. So we know that can be done. He's seated at God's right hand as an advocate for us, because the sins of everybody in the world were satisfied through what he did. But if you read on, that forgiveness of sins is only granted if you keep his commandments. Now, and I don't think the sin that the author is talking about is like, you know, there's a lot of money right here. I'm tempted to grab that and take off. Boy, that would be really good. You know, I could have some free money. But that would be a sin. That's stealing. And that's a premeditated sin. I mean, I know, everybody knows that's wrong to take that money. So, I don't think, for the Christian, he's not really talking about that kind of sin. It's a sin that was committed by mistake, most likely. Although, I don't know. I mean, if you come before Christ and the Father and ask his forgiveness, I think, and you're sincere in your yearning for that, he will grant it, I believe. So the message here is, don't sin. But if you do, Christ is there. he satisfied God's he clothed us with Christ, so that when God sees us, He sees His Son, and so that our sins can be forgiven, and they have been for those that have been immersed into Christ. So, church, go on not sinning. Thank you.
So tomorrow morning for VBS, that money better still be there. Man, guys, I like these shotguns. I gotta tell you, was this encouragement tonight? Just from all the brethren, the words from the scriptures, and the brethren going through those. This is this spiritual journey. It's a journey, isn't it? And you look at the book of Proverbs, and I think of it like, here's this maze of life, and all sorts of traps and snares and dead ends and all these things along the way, and there's one door that leads to life, and we know that's Christ. But man, isn't it great when we get to walk this together? Isn't it great when we get to help each other? Oh, nope, that's a dead end. That way, come on, here's the path, here's the trail. And I'm just appreciative for you guys in this congregation and for the guys that shared tonight. He encouraged me. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Lord, we thank you that we do have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. We're thankful, Lord, for the propitiation for our sins. We're thankful for the exhortation to not to sin. And as Brother Levi pointed out so well, the way we do this is to walk by the Spirit. We're just thankful, Lord, for your plan of victory, that you do have a throne of grace that we can come to receive mercy when we need that, but also to have the grace to help in time of need. We're thankful, Lord, for the place of refuge, the shelter from the storm, and that you do protect us, and you hold us, Lord, under your arms. I'm just really thankful for your word and the encouragement that it brings us. And it's amazing. We just picked five verses out that were somebody put out as the verse of the day. And every one of them, Lord, we just get strengthened from. We really are thankful for your word. And I just ask, Lord, that you help us all on the road to glory this week. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.